We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I think we may literally be the only radio show that's ever done an EAS test with the Elephant Walk music going into it. Cut, everyone. Nuclear war.
Is this time for Zoo News?
That's what I thought. I got all excited.
I didn't even know the Zoo News sounder still worked, so this is really exciting.
Yes.
Do you want to do some headlines?
Sure. Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks, and the big headline at Schnucks this week: earn points on thousands of new Schnucks brand items with the Schnucks Rewards app. You will be surprised by how fast those points pile up. All right. Let's keep it light today. I had some heavy stories, but then we just did the baby elephant walk, so.
That's hard.
Man, I used to collect Pokemon cards as a child. Recently, a completed original Pokemon card set was sold at auction for $107,000 and $10. It included a first edition Charizard, which apparently, if in pristine condition, is the most coveted Pokemon card on the planet. So if you still have one.
Think about this. Five of us in here. Five and a half of Taliban. So over the years, we've all collected things. Mm-hmm. Garbage Pail Kids, Planet of the Apes, baseball cards. At some point, you know at least one of us has had something come through our fingers that had we held on to it would be worth huge amount of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Like like I said, I collected these cards as a kid. I'm pretty sure my brother had the first edition Charizard. We definitely had like the holographic Bulbasaur and Blastoise and all the ones that you wanted. And then you eventually just lose them. My mom moved a couple years ago and I had a Beckett folder full of them. And I just gave them all to Carl Middleman's daughter because she loves Pokemon. Should have held on to those. Maggie, if you sell those, you got to cut me in on it, babe.
Get this. My dad spent a lot of time with his grandma when he was a kid. And he had two drawers full of baseball cards that he collected in the late 20s and 30s before going off to war in the 40s.
Whoa.
And while he was gone, she threw them away.
That's why they're worth so much.
What those would be worth. Because of my grandma.
Because of your grandma.
Yeah. She set the market.
Did you guys ever collect stuff and think, oh, when I get older, this is going to be worth so much? And then it was worth nothing.
Beanie Babies. I was a 90s kid. We were always told that Princess Di Beanie Baby is going to be worth $100,000 someday. And I don't know anyone who's selling them for that.
Yeah.
I also don't know where my Princess Di Beanie Baby went. Where do these things go? They just disappear.
She's been shacking up with Turd Baby.
Yeah.
Maybe.
He's been pounding her.
Oh, boy.
Dave.
Thank you, Dave Murray.
Dude, this show has been pure smut all day. Let's try to calm down.
Dave, the look on his face, man. He barely got it out before cracking himself up a la Wiggins.
That was Wiggins-esque.
I didn't like that.
Rachel did not like it.
Well, it's your toys.
I know. It's just wrong to think of that. That's horrible.
Well, they're the ones that are behaving inappropriately.
They're not.
Yeah. Who was giving in that scenario?
Dude, come on. Okay, we're going to move on.
The Christian. That's the Christian.
I know.
That's the pure of heart right there.
All right.
It's all about his witness. That's what he told me the first time I met him.
I don't know if I can do Paranormal Tuesday, but I will bring up any sex thing I possibly could forever.
I'm not comfortable booking tarot card readers, but if anything even smells the least bit like sex, I will take it
there. What if they just sewed their mouth shut? I don't know. Could happen. Stuff I'm into anyway. Okay.
Hang on a second.
It hurt. My diarrhea is so painful. I stand by that. I have no regrets on that.
Okay.
Katy Perry's Teenage Dream video co-star has accused her of sexual misconduct. She's always getting in trouble for this kind of stuff.
This can't surprise anybody.
He said his experience on the video was one of the most confusing, assaulting, and belittling jobs I've ever done. He said he treated her poorly around other people, was super friendly in private. He went to a party and she exposed his genitals to her friends.
Why isn't this a bigger story?
Because she slips out of everything.
Yeah,
because
it's Katy Perry.
Just like she was in trouble like last year or the year before for all that American Idol stuff, stealing that kid's first kiss.
Yep.
If that were
a man,
any man.
Yeah.
It's super wrong.
Yeah, and if it was any man, they would be ruined, and they should be.
Especially Ryan Seacrest.
Right.
He's had his own brush with the Me Too movement, but also made it out of it. American Idol must have some good PR or something. Who knows? Well, I'm running out of stories that aren't like extremely heartbreaking, so this is a definite up. Chick-fil-A has officially added a new menu item. Does anyone here know what it is?
Yes.
I do.
Okay, so everyone knows.
Yes. But Tony.
Mac and cheese.
Do. Yeah.
It hit the menu yesterday.
Did you have it?
I did. I went.
And?
It's pretty dang good.
Oh. Is it?
It's got to be 4 or 5 cheeses in that dish.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, is there anything different about the mac and cheese?
There's lots of cheese, and it's great.
Do they do anything on the top, Rachel? Crumbs or anything, or is it just straight?
No crumbs. I would say it is mostly like a very white sauce, but then they clearly have clumps of shredded cheddar mixed in there.
How did they miss this? Chop up chicken nuggets and put it in the mac.
I'm sure that's coming. But I don't know. Chick-fil-A isn't too trendy like that. They kind of...
That's genius.
This is their first new menu item in like 2 years or something. They
chicken,
don't
mac, and cheese.
Put some sriracha on that.
Oh, that sounds great.
I think so.
That was fantastic.
Imagine
if you put on a Chico stick.
I'm eating a Chico stick.
Dunking your Chico stick in mac and cheese.
Can we go into the heartbreaking ones now? Or
no, I'm not going to do those.
They must be pretty damn bad.
No kidding.
Well, I mean,
for $500, you can have a lifetime pasta pass at Olive Garden. I mean, if you were an Olive Garden person, that wouldn't sound too bad.
How much is it?
$500.
Yeah. Well, how many times a year can you go? Because is it like a couple times a year for life or what?
Every day.
You can go every day for the rest of your life?
You can go up to 5 times a day is what it says.
That does not say that.
Well, unfortunately, the only pasta I am interested in now is Chick-fil-A mac and cheese.
I think it's a good investment in your future. Because if things go south.
Yeah.
And, you know, you come on hard times.
Oh, yeah.
At least you know you can always go get a good meal.
You're right. It's a good point. Always thinking. Bags of Just Lucky Charms marshmallows are coming to stores this month.
It's about dang time.
I've never tasted Lucky Charms.
I've been asking for this for years. Lucky Charms is garbage. The marshmallows are
Lucky Charms is
are
garbage.
Like the most delicious thing on the planet.
How come you've never had it? You just don't think it sounds good?
I was not a sugar cereal kid, believe it or not. Like,
well,
I
then
grew
you
up,
would probably like the Lucky Charms cereal part because it's bland, bland.
I grew up eating like all bran.
But wow. The marshmallows is where it's at.
Yeah.
I've had the Just Marshmallows. It was a foreign brand, though. It wasn't the same. It was really close, though.
I mean, foreign brand.
Like a store
it was,
brand?
It was
or
a knockoff.
Pakistan?
Somebody got me one from Ireland or something. It was my gift. That's what they got me from their trip.
Does it feel good to lie?
They were called lucky pendants.
Like, what do you get from it?
I wouldn't know the answer to that question. Uh-huh. I'm trying to maintain my witness.
I don't know why you're still mad.
I believed him. So, Ryan, I understand you're very devout Christian. Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Glover, I am. Well, you know, we're kind of a salty show, and we do paranormal stuff. Are you going to be okay with that? Well, all I can tell you is it's a day-by-day decision, but it's all about my witness. Fast forward, I don't know who's giving and who's receiving. What if the person in the stall just got his mouth sewn up by a pervert?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, happy Tuesday to you. So every Tuesday, we've been trying to do this big interview. We've had some pretty big names so far. None bigger than today, my friend, Mr. Frank Cusimano, live in studio. Good to see you, pal.
Good to be with you.
How are you?
Struck out this week. I'm doing okay. Yes, it's an honor to be here. This is what an unbelievable studio and facility you guys got here.
So, first of all, let's get this out of the way. The big debate of the day, the Chris Cuomo, you being a proud Italian-American. I didn't know about the Fredo. I know the Godfather. I know Fredo. I know the whole thing. Did you know that this was like a...
Oh, it's a brutal insult. Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Fredo is weak in our culture. And okay. When you're called Fredo, those are fighting words.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, I don't know if I'd advocate if I was Chris Cuomo, a high-profile guy, but that's about as low as you can go.
Now, is that, as far as you know, known outside the Italian community? Like, I didn't know that.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, with the Godfather's popularity... And with everybody seeing in those, you know, 4 hours of the two movies, if Godfather 3 doesn't count, that Fredo was the weak one. Yeah, I mean, I think when you're calling somebody Fredo, you know you're about to draw the charge.
Let's go, because this is about you. We'll get into sports. Talk to me about your childhood. Like, where were you born here?
I was. Yeah, I've spent, you know, with the exception of... 11 months in Kingsport and about 6.5 years in Lexington. I've been here the whole time. Yeah, so born here and I basically grew up on Grand Avenue at the restaurant because we had six kids. And if you wanted to, you know, live at our house, you had to be a glass washer,
right,
dishwasher, busboy, waiter, you know, cook a little in the kitchen and everything to survive in our house. So my mom and dad had a station wagon, a Vista Cruiser from Carlson Oldsmobile, and they'd load us up. And, you know, every free day we had, we were at the restaurant.
Now, where are you in the order of kids?
Youngest of six.
Okay.
In fact, I always wanted to go into the restaurant business, but my two brothers and one sister had gobbled it up. So the pie was only so big. So I had to go into this other profession. And my brothers assured me that if things don't work out in TV, I can always
you can always come back.
Yeah. I got my dishwasher job back.
What are your earliest memories of the restaurant and the family and the whole bit? How old were you that you can remember being there?
I think, you know, six. I could recite the names of every cook we ever had there, you know, from Martella to Daisy to Trikey. I mean, every one of them. But what I remember most was this, is at midnight on Saturday night, for some reason, I was like on the last shift. So I would always go home with my dad and we would close up. And then we'd be driving down Grand Avenue, and we'd be listening to CBS Mystery Theater with E.J. Marshall, and then we'd stop at Grandma Hawkins' Barbecue. And it was like the best part of my childhood. Saturday nights, my dad and I alone, listening to this great mystery theater, and then picking up Grandma Hawkins' Barbecue. And we'd come home, I don't know why, but all six kids would be up, and we'd just eat barbecue late at night.
That is so great. Was it hard getting time with your folks, them being so busy and having so many siblings?
It was, and I think about I spent an enormous amount of time with my kids. And my dad, you know, the only time I would see him at night would be on Monday nights. He'd come home early at 8 o'clock in a maroon maitre d's jacket, smelling of every Kimal's red sauce.
Yeah.
And he'd come home with like 75 homemade toasted raviolis, and he'd time it so perfectly, like at 7:55, right before Monday night football would start, and we'd be dipping our toasted rav in the butter. We always thought we had so many delicate meats in there. Red sauce took away from it. Butter enhanced it.
Yeah.
And we would watch Howard, you know, Dandy Don, and Frank Gifford every Monday night together eating toasted ravs.
What great memories.
Yeah.
So, obvious sibling rivalries. How close are you to your next oldest?
It's like 2 years apart. So, a sister above, another sister above, that's 4 years, six, eight, 10. Yeah. Every 2 years we had kids.
So, was your next oldest brother the right age to be beating you up and giving you trouble? And
yeah. Doug, who was a really good athlete, and I credit him for getting me involved in sports, went to every game of his. And so I went to every practice of his, and he's the one that got me addicted to sports. Yeah, and he would pound me when I got out of hand. There's no doubt about it.
Was there anyone that you could pound? You had no one below you?
Well, I could beat up my sisters eventually. But that
took a while.
Yeah, it was like 12 or 14 before I could get them. They were feisty Italian females.
Were your mom and dad disciplinarians, or did you guys, was it kind of Shawshank and you guys were kind of running the prison.
You know, by the time they got to me, they had five kind of rowdy kids. They were kind of tired.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't give them any trouble because all I cared about was sports. So I knew I had to do okay in grade school. I mean, I wasn't a perfect kid or anything, but they were so tired when they got to me. Just go ahead and do what you want.
Same with me. I'm the youngest and my sister's 14 years older than me. My brother's 11 years older than me. I was obviously not planned. And so I wasn't exactly running the streets. But it was also kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you're on your own. I'm nothing like we are as now as parents. I would say to my mom, I can't believe you'd let me hold a bottle rocket 10 feet from somebody and throw it at that person.
Oh, yeah. You
know, it's just crazy.
I used to ask my mom and dad, hey, can we have a weenie roast and roast some marshmallows? And they would pull a chair up to the stove and just turn on the burners.
Oh, my gosh.
And I would just stand there. I mean, it's amazing.
How we lived.
I maintain that not only did we have the best childhood and maybe the last childhood, but maybe the only one. Like, my dad was sort of like one of the little rascals, and my grandpa was working in the coal mines when he was a kid. So my dad didn't really have anything like what I would call a childhood, and then ours was like golden. Yeah. And now my kids are very pampered and spoiled
and structured,
but they don't get to run the streets like you and I did.
You're right. That's a great point.
I wouldn't trade it. Like, I would not. The way we grew up, I think, is just perfect.
I'm with you.
I mean, you and I were able to get into trouble with our buddies and figure it out and get ourselves out, which is very valuable life lessons. My kids, unless they've really fooled me, haven't had the chance to do that.
Yeah.
I don't let them out of my sight.
Way of looking at it.
Yeah. So how are you a different parent? Obviously, it's a different life. Than your parents, and if so, was it intentional? Were you like, well, my dad was a little heavy-handed, I'm going to be a little more soft?
Well, I'll say this. If I could be like half the man and half the father my dad was, I'd say, man, I'll take that in a heartbeat. My dad raised six rowdy kids, and I never heard him say a curse word.
Wow.
He was responsible for 100 employees at Kmalls, and some of them were a little shady too. And he was the most gentle human being of all time. I wish I had a little bit more of that in me. But in terms of how I deal with my kids is, I'm definitely more involved. My goal as a parent was this, is to make sure that they care about something or that they're good at something. And I didn't care what it was, whether it was science or sports, and thankfully it was sports. But and if they showed that they liked it, then man, we were going to have fun with it, mm-hmm. and they were going to get good at it. And so, I mean, I'm telling you, 5 days a week, the two nights a week, initially in my career, Channel 5, I had to work two nights a week. Now I work five. But those 5 nights a week that I was with them, we were at a driving range, a gymnasium, a golf course, a batting cage, and we were having fun. It was always ice cream or pizza afterwards. And man, we were doing something.
That's great. Yeah. How, I know you played some college basketball. How good were you overall as an athlete as a kid?
Well, I was really lucky that my parents decided to have a baby a year after the Stepanoviches. So I got to go to DeSmet and played with a 7-foot All-American, and we won 63 games in a row and two state titles, and we all went to college for free. I was a gym rat who was probably average athletically, but because I spent so much time in a gym, my skill level was pretty good, and I was a good high school player and an average college player. But it was more because of like work and dedication. I had one summer where I made sure every day I had a ball in my hands. No matter what we did that day, I made sure at least at the end of the night I was in a gym or outside shooting.
So did you really, really focus on basketball, or did you also play Cory League and all that stuff?
Oh, I played everything growing up, but basketball was my love from age 5 on, and that's all I ever wanted to do was be good at basketball.
What neighborhood did you grow up in?
Grew up in the Creve Coeur area,
okay.
So pretty close to DeSmet.
Gotcha. Want to take a break? Take a quick break, come back with more with our buddy Frank Cusimano, the Big Tuesday interview.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. It is the Big Tuesday interview with our buddy Frank Cusimano. So off the air, Frank was just sharing that his mom is 93. My mom will be 92 in September. Your dad passed about 9 years ago. So was that like the king passing away, the way you talk about your dad? He just knew so many people and so big in the community.
Yeah, it was. And the fact that, like, sometimes I want to pick up the phone if I did something good, or like if my son did something good. I almost get emotional thinking about
it. Sure.
I want to tell dad that Alex won a tournament. I want to tell dad that Dom got a couple base hits, or the Brooke won, and he's not there. So I'll never get over it, but losing your dad's the worst thing.
Sure.
Ever.
And but he got to see your success.
He did. Yeah, he did. And the best phone, I had two great phone calls in my life. The first one was when Mike Bush called and said, pack your bags, you're coming home. And the second one was when I called my dad and I told him I got the job. And I could hear him yelling to my mom, Mary Grace, he got the job, he got the job.
That's so great.
Yeah. So April 12th, 1993 was my first day here. And they watched every show and critique. And they didn't critique. It was all positive. I mean, I would screw up so bad on the air. And I'd call my mom, even though I know I was a complete butcher on the air. I'd say, hey, mom, what'd you think? Oh, you were great, Sonny.
That's so great.
She was just lying. I'd actually feel good about it, even though I know she was lying through her teeth.
You'll love this story. My dad died in 2002. I started my career in 2000, but he had been sick with Alzheimer's for quite a long time. And so he really didn't know who anyone was for about 5 years. And then the last week or two, he was very sick and he was in the hospital. And remember the old Air Awards? I don't know if you remember those for radio. The very last one they had was in 2002, and I won for Rookie of the Year and Best Talk Show Host. And the awards are these crystal looking things. And so I took him to the hospital to show my dad. My brother was always a big proponent of mine. And it was kind of a sunny day. And my dad, he knew nothing. He was out of it. And my brother was showing him these awards and they were kind of glistening in the sun. Now I'm going to get emotional. And he said, look, Dad, look what Dave did. Dave's on the radio. And this award says he's the best in St. Louis. Now, for 5 years, my dad hasn't even known his own name. And one of the last words my dad said on earth was, that's my Dave.
Boy, that's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Like, just
to have clarity in a split second.
Just a little bit of clarity. Just,
holy cow.
And then he died about 10 days later.
He said that clearly.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't
that something else?
Yeah.
So, let's talk about your career. So, how do you get to here? I mean, did you go to school for this?
Yeah. In fact, I knew kind of at a young age that they were going to take the basketball away from me at age 22 at UMSL. So yeah, I interned at KMOX, interned at Channel 5, and worked at, Continental Cable and KWMU. So when I was at Channel 5, they let me cut a resume tape, like right after Art Holliday got off the air on a Saturday. I got in there and cut it. And then I got a job in Kingsport, Tennessee, made $12,500. My dad would send me $20 every week. And I'd go to like the Bonanza or Ponderosa and thought I was eating at Ruth's Chris. And then I moved on to Lexington, Kentucky. And I didn't plan on spending that much time there. But it was a great basketball area. And B, my wife came down. She had a great job. And C, I just couldn't get a job here. I mean, I could fill this whole wall with rejection letters from just news directors in St. Louis. No, we don't like your voice. No, you're not the look we want. No, you're not ready and stuff. And then, finally the GM who told Mike Bush, you will never work here as long as I'm the GM, he got fired. That's when Mike called and said, you're coming back.
Isn't that amazing when things like that happen? What did you try? Because you grew up, you and I are about the same age. We grew up in the era of like Dick Vitale and Howard Cosell, and everyone had such a thing. Did you try to develop a thing, or did you really just kind of try to be yourself and see how it worked out?
Well, obviously, along the way, when I kept getting rejected, I tried a gazillion things.
Yeah.
But the one person who I really liked, and I'm not sure if even you'll know who he is, but people can Google him right now, is Nick Charles from CNN. He was the original CNN sports anchor. And he was this really cool dark-haired guy that wore nothing but Armani and just really smooth. But what I really liked about him best was his verbs came alive. He wrote packages. He cared about journalism. Every night, like in Kingsport or in Lexington, as soon as I got off the air, I would go into like a kind of a quiet room and watch him because he would come on like at 10:30 mm-hmm. right when I was off the air. And I would write down some of his phrases, and I finally, you know, got to meet him and got to know him. He tragically died of cancer when he was like 65. But let me tell you a quick story. Is in 85, I'm in Lexington, Kentucky, and I come back home just to watch the Cardinals in the postseason. And Monique, we weren't married. She's going to pick me up at the airport. And I happen to get on the plane, and Nick Charles is coming here to cover the Cardinals. I sit next to him, meeting him. We're with each other for like an hour and a half, and he just lived up to what I thought he'd be, the greatest, most gracious guy. So I get off the airplane first, and Monique's there, and I say, "Hey, Monique, who's my all-time favorite hero?" She says, "Oh, Nick Charles." 10 seconds later, he walks off. "Frank, great to see you. Stay in touch." And she's
wow.
like,
"That's really great." What? So I get this. I don't know if you get this, but you get young people coming up to you and saying, like, "Man, I want to do what you do. I want to be a sports broadcaster." I personally feel like the industry is changing so much that I might be the last guy out the door. I'm not sure there is a generation after me doing kind of what I do and what we've grown up with. What advice do you give a late teen or an early 20s kid who wants to become the next Frank Cusmano?
Well, I hate to be discouraging, but I think the greatest thing I've ever done in my life is successfully steer my three kids out of the profession. And I didn't really have to say anything. They've just kind of seen it. Look, I wouldn't trade my job for anything. I'm on my knees every day thanking the Lord for the opportunity to work at Channel 5, and I love every day of it. I love doing radio with you guys. But the jobs are tougher now. You know, it's paying less. It's doing more. I mean, I think talk radio is probably the medium that has the greatest chance of lasting and remaining like
Agreed.
It is.
Yeah.
But local TV, boy, it's tough.
Was that just the economy? I know one time I did an interview with a young woman from Channel 5 who I knew out at the airport when Bolger and I were redoing the USO, and she showed up without a cameraman and did her own camera. And that was the first time I'd seen that. And she said, "I think this is the wave of the future, Dave. Like, they're really cutting back."
I will be at two different shoots today shooting my own stuff.
Yeah.
I don't mind it anymore. I'm a very mediocre shooter, but that's just the way it is. And the reason is, Dave, is that, like, when we used to have Sports Plus on a Sunday night, we would get a rating of sometimes 12 or 13. Now local newscasts get a rating of 2. Wow. They're still making money,
yeah,
but it's just not the gravy train it once was.
Yeah. What can you imagine having done for a living other than this?
You know, I always tell Monique this when I get frustrated at TV. I say, you know, well, there's two things. One is the restaurant business. I think I could have been like the greatest maitre d' of all time. You know, it's not a whole lot of responsibility. It's making people feel good, tell them what to order, moving things around. And then Monique will say something, "Yeah, but you don't know business. You couldn't run a restaurant." So the other thing is basketball coaching. And if I won the lottery today, you know, this would be my last time speaking in front of a microphone. I would go get a job in some decent school district or some private school and say, "Let me run your basketball program." And I would, you know, try to teach life lessons, work hard, develop a singular style of fast breaking and running and just love coaching the game.
Yeah. Have you done it? Have you coached?
Oh, I've coached probably 1,500 games, 500 games with Alex, 500 games with Brooke, and 500 games with Dom. And never in my life have I been more alive than coaching. I love every part of it.
What do you think are some of the mistakes or bad trends these days with kids' sports, whether it's the way they're coached or the way they're trained?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and the CYC, which is not certainly the most elite of leagues, they used to have this thing about if you criticize a kid, then you have to say like 2 compliments too. And I know that sounds a little kindergartenish, but I'm telling you, you have got to lift kids. I hate these coaches who just destroy a kid's will and then ask them to play harder and do a better job. I mean, you got to lift them up, make them feel good, encourage the heck out of them. I mean, you know, if I'm guilty of anything, it's trying to be too encouraging and not disciplinary enough. And that's what my wife accuses me of with my kids. But boy, that's the style of coaching that I would try to emulate.
Did you have tough coaches as a kid?
I had great coaches. I had the greatest high school coach, I think, of all time in Rich Grauer, the guy who built the dynasty at DeSmet. And I'm not saying he was the most encouraging, but he was encouraging, and he worked so hard and so organized, and you just wanted to be good. I went to a baseball game with him the other night. He's one of my close friends now. Yeah, I was really blessed to have some good coaches.
Did you have any Bobby Knight-esque bosses or coaches over the years?
No, but my kids did, and I tried to, you know, stay out of it, but I won't, you know, there was a part of me just wanted to punch him sometimes.
Yeah.
And you know, when they do it, it's 100 times worse when they do it to your kids. And then when my kids had turned out, you know, much better than what they thought that this coach was telling them, I wanted to like send him a little letter or an article, you know, just, hey, he turned out okay in spite of you, you know?
Right.
So these coaches that scream and are really, look, I wasn't perfect as a coach, but these coaches that make kids feel bad, oh, I hate it.
What is are your thoughts on the emergence of politics in sports the past few years?
Well, if I was running ESPN, I would tell them, you stay out of it. You absolutely stay out of it. For a while, they wanted to be woke and they wanted to take a political stance, always to the left, you know, on the sports world. And look, there's half the people on the right. What you're doing is you're alienating half of your audience. Look, I admire athletes who speak out, but if I'm running a network, a sports network, I tell my host, you stay out of it.
Kroenke, the worst sports figure that you've dealt with in town?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I will say this. In my one-on-one dealings with Stan, they were okay. He was a basketball fan. He knew I loved the game, and we would talk a lot before Rams games sometimes. And we got along okay. But kind of what he did to the city is what is despicable. If he would have just been up front and said, hey, look, I can make my franchise worth $1 billion more by moving out.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a move. No offense. I like your city, but I'm going to make a move. We would have disliked it. I don't think we would have, you know, had the hatred we have for him. He didn't have to trash the city on the way out with lies and lies and lies.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? We're not a great sports city. Did you hear what happened a year ago from the day? The PGA Championship record crowds. We're going to have the MLS here. We may get a NASCAR Cup race. The Bomberito 500 will be packed. This is an unbelievable sports town, not to mention the Cardinals and the Blues. So he screwed up.
Think we'll ever have a NFL franchise
no,
again?
No, not in my lifetime. No. Nope.
Do you care?
I certainly don't now, but there's a part of me like, boy, some of my friends in other markets are covering NFL training camp. But if it's like the last team we covered, I'll pass.
Yeah. The Blues championship, I was at home watching the celebration and really, truly celebrating my friend, you, watching you have what seemed to be the time of your life during that parade.
Yeah, it was. And in fact, in the 26 years I've been here, that's the greatest single story. We've covered two Cardinal World Championships, been a part of a bunch of those pennants, and, you know, the Rams Super Bowl. But this is the best. And when you wait 52 years, hockey people are just great people. And, you know, there's just so many likable guys. I felt good for the Bob Plagers and, you know, the Al McInneses and the Bernie Fedorkos as much as the Ryan O'Reillys and the Pat Maroons.
Yeah.
It was definitely the best story.
So we're younger than Dave Murray, but he just semi-retired and seems happy as a pig and you know what. Any thoughts of it? Are you just still going full steam ahead?
Yeah. I haven't thought about it at all. I wonder what I could do. I'm just not qualified to do many other things, you know.
Couldn't just sit?
No, I couldn't. And some people say, what if you teach? I don't know. I don't want to teach. I want to do this till they like kick me out the door, Channel 5, which will probably be in about 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, very good. So, yeah. Frank Cusimano, thanks so much, buddy. It's been a real pleasure and honor having you on the show as long as we have.
Dave, I just admire what you guys do. I mean, I have a tough time filling 3.5 minutes of sports, and you guys fill 4 hours of talk radio. That's awesome stuff.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.